God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time. With no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of your breath, the planet.
Hi, everyone. This is Kathleen Francis, the host of Wise Women on PRN Progressive Radio Voices, and I'm so happy today to welcome Dr. Ann Consorti, who is an extraordinary chiropractor, and I've had the privilege of being able to be one of her patients. She has now moved to Texas, and I don't have that privilege anymore, and believe me, my body is not the same. And so with that, I will please welcome Dr. Ann Consorti. Ann, welcome to Wise Women.
Well, thank you, Kathleen. It's a pleasure to be back again.
So would you be kind enough to give our listeners an overview? I know there are many forms of chiropractic in our practices, and I would love for them to understand a little bit more about what your particular format is for your practice. And then I want to bring in another aspect of who you are, because I think it would be so valuable to people to hear. So if you'd be kind enough, tell us more about your work.
Absolutely. So I've been a chiropractor for 35 plus years. I started back in 1989. And in chiropractic, we look for a thing called the subluxation. And the subluxation is a bone that's at a place that puts pressure on a nerve. Now, where I branch off from that is, yes, we do the physical adjusting because we do have to get the bone off the nerve. But there's also other causes that cause that subluxation, or the bone at a place strangling the nerve, cutting off the communication between the brain and the body. So what happens is the physical aspect is one of them that causes the bone to move out of place. Another thing that can cause a subluxation is a metabolic aspect, or something that is out of balance in your body, causing a reflex back to the brain, which bombards the, I guess, the covering of the nerves and the spinal cord to cause those bones to shift out of place, as well as emotional stress. So the part that I like to focus in on, besides the physical adjusting, is the metabolic aspect, to balance the body's yes, we all want a normal metabolism that keeps our weight normal, but when I speak metabolic, we're talking about the metabolic aspect of what nutrients does each organ, tissue, or gland need, and which organs, tissues, or glands are suffering or diseased or dysfunctioning. So I focus on that through a system that I've developed on my own called Step Into Natural Health, which is a muscle reflex testing, which I use the vertebrae that are weakened or subluxated to determine which organ systems or glands or tissues need that nutritional support. So that is where I focus on. That's my expertise, where I can help put it together so that someone who is getting adjusted can hold their physical adjustment longer than if that system is still sending feedback saying something's still not right.
So this is what's wonderful about your work, is it's a much more expanded kind of practice, a much more total kind of opportunity for people to receive the kind of wonderful support to make sure that they are able to, to be able to use that part in bringing the body to, a wellness state. And I was very, very happy to be able to also continue, even though not in person, to be able to have a Zoom session with you to help me to stay in alignment with, you know, all of my health aspects so that I can continue to be supported by your wonderful work. So I definitely appreciate that. And, you know, since we are on that, how can people be in touch with you to access your wonderful support?
Ah, that's sweet. So, and on, if people were to want to reach out, because yes, you're absolutely right, Kathleen, I do, I guess what they call nutritional consultation, and where do they have a word for it now? Teleconferencing or telemed, there you go. And yes. If you do that, we can, yeah. So people can connect with me through my email, which is innerjourneychiropracticpc@gmail.com. So that's innerjourneychiropracticpc@gmail.com. And I check my emails regularly. So if anyone would like to schedule an appointment, I can walk you through that, through the email process, and connect with you by phone through that.
Well, the newly elected Sedona mayor, Mr. Jablow, Scott Jablow, who also was a patient of yours when you were in Long Beach, New York, and he insists that you saved his life. So that's a testimonial that I can, you know, verify. He was a policeman, I believe, and he, when I interviewed him for when he was running for mayor, he went into great detail about the importance of what you had in terms of the impact on his overall health and well-being. So now he's the mayor of Sedona. So
there you go. You wouldn't be the mayor.
Yes. So what I would really like to bring into this conversation and this segment of Wise Women is what you and your husband, Jim, are doing now that you have gone to Texas and created this wonderful oasis for other people to be able to see what you're doing and duplicate it if possible. Now, this, of course, is something that Gary Null, who's just a couple of hours away from you with his other location and what he's doing with his intentional communities and taking on a way that's probably extremely important right now in our current political atmosphere. So would you be kind enough to start that conversation and let people know what you and your husband, Jim, are doing?
Sure. I would love to. So we have become aware, and I'm hoping that most people do, and if you're not, maybe this will wake you up and make you aware that we have been being controlled by what we think we deem the global claw of dependence. And we are completely dependent on a food supply that is null and devoid of any nutritional value. I won't even go into the political aspects of the food supply. We don't even really need to, because the why comes from you are what you eat. That song is so true. And when there's no nutrition in the food that you're eating, your body can't function at maximum health, and we can never elevate your health. So what they're doing to the food is a crime, really. I mean, they've been spraying crops, and they spray crops with cancerous, poisonous toxins. And even if you're eating an apple, especially if it's not organic, it's coated and laced not only on it, but in it with glyphosate, which is a known carcinogen, right? And they're soaking. Monsanto has confiscated a lot of seeds because they have to go to them first. And they soak these seeds in Roundup, which not only kills our food and puts it in our body, but it renders the bees, it kills them and blows them up when they go to eat that plant. So we're destroying our ability to pollinate our crops. So we have to get back to the core of what we are, which is living off the land. And so we bought farmland here in Texas, and we're working through the early stages of developing our garden. We put in a pond, and we are moving to grow more and more food on that to create more of a food forest than just a vegetable garden, and hopes our goal, I guess, is to share with the community and find other like-minded people who maybe either want to help steward the land with us and then reap some of the food benefits, or have a section of their own and become a member of our Health Pedal organization. And this way we can share that, because I was reading this article. This is just ridiculous to me. But anyway, I will share it with you. So a long time ago, I think on the last podcast, I shared with you that I read an article in Scientific America where they're trying to make meat in a petri dish. Well, they now just
make
opened
meat
their
in
first
a petri
facility.
Dish.
Yeah.
That's what you said, make meat in a petri dish.
Yeah, meat in a petri dish, which is like the right. So they just opened this 53,000 square foot open kitchen concept where people can see them cultivate meat from, I don't know what. They're making it out of plastic? I don't know what they're doing. I don't really know the details because they don't tell you that. But they're using, here it says, I'm reading this article in Veg News. It's from November 5th of last year. And it says, food technology startup Upside Foods, formerly known as Memphis Meats, opened its first large-scale production facility in Oakland, California this week. The mission of making lab-grown meat a force for good. Now, that is really, really, really scary for me. Because anything they make in a lab is toxic and poisonous to our bodies. And now they want to put that in there. So now you have to wonder, how good are they at this? And is what I'm buying in the food store really meat? They don't tell you anything, and they keep changing how they have to label things. So yeah, they just open this thing. They're using, like, it looks like brewery beer things, I think I just read somewhere. And their goal is to, you know, pioneer in the cell-based space. Upside was the first company to raise seed funding. Led by Asia-based firms. Oh, there's a shock. SoftBank Group of Temasek, with additional funding from animal agriculture giants Cargill and Tyson Foods.
So, Anne, this information that you're disseminating is something that really everybody should know and should be on mainstream news, but it's not probably going to show up there. But I know Gary Null on his podcast every day, you know, gives a lot of pertinent information about these things, but we can never get enough of it. So with this newfound...
What I was going to say is something like this, to some people, they think this is a great thing.
I know, it's shocking. I know. This is, oh God. Thank you for bringing that point forward, because right. I have been, you know, I have probably kept myself a little bit isolated, you know, just connecting with the people who have the ideology that I have. And then when I was, you know, in this Great Gatsby show, and I was with a different segment of folks who are lovely people, and they are in a completely different mindset. And I was like dumbstruck. And, you know, I have to tell you, it brings distress to me to realize what you're saying is true, that people are thinking this is great. So I don't, anyway.
So here's a thing from this Valetti, I guess the person who's been putting this together. Let's see. There are a few moments in history of Upside that have made this journey feel real to me, but nothing has made it feel more real than setting foot in this facility for the first time. To see our vision not just come to life, but at such a massive scale has been amazing. The road ahead will be winding long and hard, but so worthwhile. We've never been as close as we are today to realizing our mission of creating a world where meat is a force for good. Well, meat is meat, and God didn't make plastic meat. He made animals to give us meat, And therefore, they need to change that word. But to somebody, this is a joy. And this is what they've been living for, was to get rid of all the animals and people off the earth. And they want to cut our carbon dioxide. But, you know, they don't realize that we kind of need that to live.
Yes. And
I'm not sure how they think of that. Like, the trees can't live without carbon dioxide, and they don't give us oxygen. So, you know.
As a little aside, this whole dynamic of gender changing and interfering with our DNA is something that it's like taking over the role of God. And that's a conversation that is something that, again, is a much larger conversation that I don't see many people having.
Yeah.
So what God has created is being mightily altered and interfered with, like giving the reins of what God has created to people who have a penchant to be creators themselves. Am I saying it in a way that makes sense?
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, yes, but think about it. So Hasatan, or Satan, his ultimate goal is to reign above God and the hubris. So he works through people who are open, empty vessels, who have no trust in God and think that they are in control of something. And then for Yahweh to, the hubris of them to think that they can usurp Yahweh is beyond me. It's beyond me. Who thinks you can outdo God or Yahweh in anything, and that they're going to win? It's just amazing to watch it. It's like watching some Broadway play, and you're like, are you kidding me?
Like, yeah, well, and it's on so many, so many different levels and aspects of this, you know, from the Monsanto and, you know, creating seeds that are man-made GMO, and you know, and now the vaccines that are, you know, mRNA, genetically engineered interference with your whole entire biochemistry. It really is a full-on assault on taking over the role of God. It, you know, I know there are those that don't believe in God, but in fact, Gary,
look out your window.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, Gary often plays, you know, that recording of the head of the economic, forum, and talks about the fact that God is something that is made up by man, and so obviously. Mm-hmm. Their whole objective is to become that God by taking charge of all of these things that we're talking about today. Nespa?
Right. Yeah. And wouldn't it be so happy for everyone to think that God was made up in man's mind rather than man made from God's mind?
This is a whole philosophical posture that I maybe didn't think we were going to get into today, but here we are, and I think it is worth a conversation.
Well, it is, and to weave it back to whence we came is that, think about this. So they make this mRNA technology. They tell you that you have to get it. They don't make you because they can't. And now they're making food. So if they're making this in the lab, do you really know what's in it? And do they have to tell you? Because now it's not technically food.
You're
going to be eating it. So do we really even know? And there comes full circle why you need to grow your own. And where you can begin growing your own is in your own backyard. You can take a simple little section of your yard and grow the three main nutritive crops, which is potatoes, sweet and regular, beans, and squashes. There, those three can give you the life-sustaining nutrients that you need, and you can grow an abundance of those easily. I mean, potatoes, you can grow year-round in buckets. You just bring them in your house or in your garage.
And perfect.
Right? So, I mean, if we let's get into each one separately and how you would simply grow them, because this is really important, and the urgency is beyond me. That nobody, people are just like, there's going to be food in the food store. What they don't realize is that each individual community has a 3-day supply of food. That's it. So if our trucks stop, if they cut the food supplies, stop delivering, you got 3 days to feed that community. Then what? Then what? What are you going to do? You can't grow then. It takes 100 days to grow a bucket of potatoes. However,
right.
If you start now and you keep starting more and more potato buckets as you go, you'll always have, it's almost like a round robin. Like, so start 3 buckets this month. Next month, start another.
Oh, yes.
You'll always have potatoes to harvest, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And what I say with a bucket is you get those food grade buckets from your local stores. I would go to the local hardware store and keep it local, because we have to keep the local families in business.
Right.
So those 5 gallon food grade buckets, and you get a drill and you drill holes in the bottom, because you got to be able to water it through, right? And you put fill about halfway with some good soil with some compost in it, and you can get seed potatoes. You can buy them online right now, or you can take a potato if it's organic. House in your garden that's got eyes on it, and cut it off with a nice thick section, but leave it sit to dry out for a day. And then you put those in a bucket. You put 2 or 3 in a bucket, pile more dirt on top, and then just water it through. Now you have to water it through. So we usually put ours up you can put it up on a rack. We put them up on pallets because we happen to have a lot of pallets out here. So that when you water it, the water goes all the way through, because potatoes grow down. First, the green comes up, but the potatoes grow down into the bucket.
Right.
So, there you go. I mean, it's simple. What is that going to cost you? I don't know, $4 in seed potatoes that you order online. Maybe $5 in dirt and $5 for a bucket. So for $20, $15, $20, you can have food. And being in your family.
Right. Well, you know what was wonderful? My cousin Henry gave my brother for Christmas a whole in-house growing garden. So I'm not sure where he found it, but it was like, I was so proud of my cousin to be consistent with this ideology. And my brother got so excited about the whole idea. That, you know, at least there is a consciousness out there that, you know, and I don't get a chance to talk to my cousin Henry very often, but he on his own came to this kind of perspective and then gave that as a gift. Now, I know they're not cheap. I think those things cost a couple hundred dollars for those in-home gardens.
Right.
But what you're saying, of course, is a lot less, but it's just exciting to see that, you know, there is out there, obviously, some consciousness about the importance of growing your own kinds of food that are possible within your own, you know, because of course, Jimmy's up there in the tundra, 52 inches of snow came in the last few days in northern Wisconsin, so.
You put it inside in a tent or ward it off in some protect in a shed, you could still do it, you know?
Well, back home, everybody's got basements. So, that's totally doable. Turn your basement into your food crop.
Yeah, and if you want to water it through, you put your buckets not on the ground and not just up on something. Put them inside a plastic bin. And let it water through, and then you can recycle that water because it's on the bottom, so then you can pull it out and dump it on. My husband and I, Dr. Jim, have started a podcast on Brighteon, And you can go there and you can search for Health Petal, H-E-A-L-T-H-P-E-T-A-L. And we're bringing you through our journey where we started in from the simple thing of bucket gardening. We're going to be going through, and I'll give you some of the highlights today. Bucket, the potatoes, the beans, and the potatoes, the squash, and the beans. But we're going through that. We're also going through all the transitions that are going on our farm. Not that you have to do it at a large scale, but even from that, you can take it on a smaller scale and do it that fits your needs. Like if you live in an apartment, you can grow a little garden on your windowsill. Maybe you have a balcony. Like it doesn't have to be this massive scale. We just chose to want to do it this way because we can and we want to.
Yes.
You know it. And another big direction that I'm heading in is to grow my own medicinal herbs because we're getting less and less availability of them. A lot of them are grown overseas. A lot of them are grown in Asia. And they're, you know, at some point they may cut our trade to here. The quality, we can't determine what it is, even if what does organic mean to them versus us. So we'll be controlling the herbs and creating tinctures that we'll be probably selling and using medicinally because I notice that my patients are having a hard time sometimes getting things like echinacea or artemisinin, which is wormwood, you know, which is very anti-parasitic, anti-COVID, anti-spike protein. So all these things are getting sparser and sparser. So if we can grow our own and know how they're grown, like, isn't that amazing? You know what's in your soil. You know that you're not spraying it. You know that the food that you're eating is fresh and the taste is beyond compare to even an organic piece of vegetable or fruit in the food store. It's mind-boggling.
Like, oh.
Everybody's growing.
Wow. Wow. That's yeah, I mean, this makes such good logical sense, and I'm truly hoping that people will listen to your own podcast and follow, you know, all of the steps that you're lining up there for them so that, you know, we can impact as many people as possible to, you know, bring this into their own direct life experience and make, you know, these changes that are critical for, you know, for the what unfortunately seems our own survival.
Exactly. And you know what? There's nothing better than that. We've gotten so dependent on a system that's crashing, right? We're under the illusion that they care about us. And it's...
Oh, Gary says that all the time. They're lying to you. He keeps saying, they're lying to you.
It is. And we have to be delusional if we think we can depend on them to feed us something healthy. They don't want to do that. Fast food restaurants are out to kill you. They have so many chemicals. They literally put a chemical in that food to not let you know when you're full. So you overeat that crap. And studies have shown that those that are eating those saturated, crappy fats are more susceptible to the side effects, not only of the jab, which one of them happens to be death, and many of them are everywhere in between, but also to getting COVID very severely because those monosaturated fats are, I don't know, somehow interact, and those people are worse off. They've done a study to see people who eat this kind of diet versus that kind of diet. And the ones that eat that processed, middle of the food store, know nothing food, it's not even food. You can't even classify it as food. I'm not sure what it is. It's an illusion.
No.
There's anything like, I mean, like they take everything out of it and then they package it pretty with a piece of wheat on it. And y'all think it's like healthy. Well, you know what? Their wheat is probably the worst thing in the world for you because it's so modified to have so much gluten that our body can't even handle it anymore. People aren't sensitive to gluten. They're sensitive to modified, over-glutenized, over-utilized wheat products rather than an ancient grain. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. You know, allergies. You don't have a nut allergy. You have a toxic chemical allergy is what you have.
Oh. Yes.
So crazy. The only allergy you have is that you're nuts. So.
Oh, Lord. I know. So now we've covered how to do the potatoes. Do you want to explore a little bit and, you know, help people understand some of the other possibilities that they can, sure, you know, do in their own home?
Yeah. I mean, you could throw in a couple of beans. You want to get those. They don't need such a deep pot. You can get like a container. What beans need is like a lattice that goes up.
Oh, yes.
Kind of, right? Because they climb. And then you can grow beans. One of the ones we grew successfully, and they just kept producing. The more we picked, the more it produced, were these long beans.
Ah.
And they long, meaning that they grow to be like 18 inches long.
And no way!
Yeah, they were so cool. And the beauty of it is if you let them grow, some of them grow longer than you would pick before you pick them. So you leave them on the vine until they get these seeds in them. You never really have to buy seeds again because—
Oh, right.
Just like the potato bucket. When you harvest a bucket of potatoes, there's going to be some big ones and there's going to be small ones. But those little ones, you replant. So you never have, once you buy seed potatoes, if you do it right and you keep harvesting and put the little ones back in another in the bucket, refill the bucket, you'll just keep growing potatoes from the initial investment. The same with beans. And we had a great crop. The lima beans were amazing. And again, you eat them, you can dry them, but you dry them and then you plant them again. So, you know, there was more than enough to eat, to dry, you know, and then to save to plant. And that can be grown in a container easily. And those, again, you have a lot of nutritional value there. So now you have your beans with your carb, which is your potato, either sweet or baked, or baked. Sweet or like a Yukon Gold or the regular potatoes, and you'll get a complete protein. And then you add your squashes, like a butternut or I call it honey nut. It's like a cross between a delicata and a butternut. There's a new kind out. You can get those seeds too, or a delicata. I mean, they're deliciously filling, high fiber, that are great for the digestive system. They fuel the gut flora in your body. They help keep your bowels moving, and they give you plenty of nutrition, vitamin A and D, and all your fiber needs and your carbohydrate needs. And there's even some protein in there. Like, these three foods are complete protein. I mean, complete foods when you add them all together.
And I know beans are really good for cleaning the liver.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they're nitrogen fixers, and they're full of they also clean up your soil, and they add nitrogen and nutrition back into the soil. So if you're gardening or if you're planting in a pot, you don't want to put when the plant has produced itself and it's done producing, you don't want to pull the root out. You want to clip it at the bottom. And then we just like lay it back down on the garden and let it compost and mulch itself. But you leave the roots in because of the microbiome that's been established underneath the ground. And those tap roots for some of those bean plants can go like 8 feet underground. So they're digging up some good nutrition. Yeah, it's fascinating.
Wow, that's awesome. So you do lima beans and long beans.
We did lima beans, long beans. We did fava beans. We did green beans. We do peas. Like, we do everything.
Oh.
Those are the three main crops that if you were to choose three things you're going to grow and just start with that, I would start with those three things.
Right. Wonderful. Right. And then, now the squash, though, they have to be on the ground, don't they?
Yeah. Well, you can do them in buckets, flatter buckets. But yeah, if you could put them in the ground, that'd be great. They're definitely a summer crop. Again, your potatoes you can grow year round if you bring them in and they can get some sunlight. Your beans would be, they're kind of spring. They grew in the summer and fall. They're kind of tolerant to cold. But the thing is that you get such a big crop that I was able to blanch them and freeze them. So we're still eating our long beans from the summer.
Freezing, you're not doing canning, because canning, of course, is another whole subject. Now, family does a fair amount of canning. My grandmother, because we have property on Lake Superior, they had an outdoor garden, and whatever they grew, they then canned and ate that food throughout the winter. And gave a lot of it, to the family. And, her basement were shelves full of their canned jars, the glass jars. And that was grandma's way, and it wasn't like in that era, just like they didn't teach us Italian, which I always was resenting, because my grandmother and my father, they spoke Italian, but they didn't teach us, the next generation. And it's the same thing. My grandma canned and my dad did some of it, but it was a lost art as far as my generation, except that, my family has certain recipes. My brother just, he mailed me my favorite recipe is the caparelli, which is a hot kind of vegetable in a jar. And then the antipasto is another. So those recipes, and my niece is continuing with our recipes, and that were coveted recipes from my grandmother. And then from, my brother's wife's family also. They're all Italians back there, and they make their own pasta, the cheese raviolis. It's not vegan, but they're getting in that direction, and those are frozen things. So it's either being able to freeze or can. Now if the grid goes out and we don't have any electricity, obviously the canning is the most I suppose the safest way to make sure that, there is sustenance for survival, basically. Unbelievable that we have to talk about this.
Right. But certain vegetables you can't can or jar. In the pressure cookers, because of their acidity, and the beans, the beans would have to be pickled in order to be preserved in a jar.
No, my grandmother canned the beans. She definitely canned her beans.
Yeah, but they can them with a pickling agent. Like, they have to put vinegar in it. Like, you have to change it because they won't. I said they can, but it's a process. And they're usually somewhat pickled to keep because of the acidity in them. So, and like pumpkin, you can, however, you can't puree it to can it and jar it. It has to be chunks. So there's different, you can. And so with the beans, I chose to freeze them instead of jar them.
Well, another thing that my grandmother always did were the red peppers, which are very good for you. She always canned red peppers.
Right, but I'm sure she canned them in like a brine, right? You put in those spices.
I don't know. I know there was garlic. They would put garlic in the beans and in the peppers.
Exactly. So, yes, and there was probably apple cider vinegar and the canning salt. And these. So there are ways, and yes, you can can most things. I did get a dehydrator, and so we had made a bumper crop of pumpkin, and I didn't want it to go bad. So I guess, you have to blanch it, and then I dehydrated it. Some of it I can, I chunked, I can. blanched I can.
Wow.
And some of it I pureed and froze. So yeah. You can do all of them, and you just have to read on how to do them. And
Now, what about mushrooms? Because mushrooms are such a good source of vitamin D3, which I know is really important. Mushrooms shouldn't be too hard to grow, are they?
They shouldn't be, but they are. Once you get them going, but to get it started, it takes a long time. Like especially the ones in the logs, it takes about, I think it was like a year or two before they start growing. But once it starts growing, it will reseed itself. So you have to get it started. The easiest to grow that still takes some effort are the button mushrooms. And with all those fancy reishi, shiitake, lion's mane, blah, 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 the button mushrooms have the most amount of medicinal and nutritional qualities of all mushrooms.
Wow.
So if you're going to just grow one mushroom, that's the one to grow. And they're great to grow in your garden because they help their fungi. And they help to feed the microbiome under the ground, which will nourish all your other plants. So
Well, our family tradition back home, traditionally, we in the fall, we always went into the woods to find the wild mushrooms. That was something also that our family did as a tradition. And of course, you know, it was a mushroom hunt. It depended on the way the weather was, and then you know, finding, you know, it would be, you know, a family treasure hunt to go out and, you know, and then as soon as you would find a batch, then you go over here. You know, it was such a fun thing to do.
Yeah, that's an art, and that's something to be really careful with because you can find the wrong mushroom and not live to see the next day.
Well, for some reason, we were really taught. I mean, this has been,
That's what I mean.
60, 70 years.
They know. Yeah. So
yeah.
I wouldn't, if I was just anybody, and I mean, because we have mushrooms all around us. And if I'm your family sounds like they absolutely know that. And that's amazing. And you're right. There's another art that was lost to know which ones to eat and which ones not to eat. Person went out into the woods, they might not know the difference.
That's a very good point. Absolutely.
I see the mushrooms all around me and I'm like, that looks like a turkey tail. And that one looks like a.
Yes, it's true. It's true. So that is a very good point because I would be devastated if somebody listened to this program and then went out and picked the wrong mushroom. So forget about that one, you guys.
You can do your research and find someone who knows mushrooms and take you out and then you can learn.
That really is a kind of person-to-person thing because they taught us. I mean, I remember going out when I was 5 years old with my family and they'd show me what mushrooms I was, you know, supposed to pick. And then even if I picked the wrong one, when we get the bushels back at the house, then, you know, we would clean all the mushrooms. And if there was a bad one, my family would know which one, you know, had to be thrown away for sure.
Right.
And then but mushrooms have you have to do something with them right away. So once the mushrooms were cleaned, then they were all blanched in the frying pan. And then they do freeze them and they can can them. My grandmother canned the mushrooms too.
Yeah, those you can. Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. You can dry them. I mean, they dry them and they sometimes freeze.
They never did that, but of course I know they can do that. Yeah, that's a very good way, you know, and obviously I think part of the staples of survival is to have a dehydrator also in your home so that, you know, the really hard thing is, you know, what do we do about fruit? That's a tricky one.
Well, There's your dehydrating. You can dehydrate your fruit. You can make your apple sauces. And I think you can freeze those. I'm not sure about canning. I think, yes, you can. You can jar and can fruits. I mean, think about it. You get applesauce. Yeah.
So yes.
You can do that. You can make jams and jellies with your fruit. You just don't have to add a lot of sugar.
But you can't grow a tree in your house. Yeah. Well, of course, I think you did.
Yes, we did in the bathroom. Right.
Little trees, but you did.
Right. And these are all lost arts that we really need to get back to because, you know, we're dependent on people who just don't care about us. The only thing they care about is power and wealth, and you're in their way.
Yes.
And they don't really care if you live or die. As a matter of fact, they really want us all dead because we're
correct.
In their way. So we really have to take back our power, take back our land, take back our communities, and ultimately take our country back to, you know, survival in communities. We miss that. I mean, we're all in our little boxes called our homes,
yes.
and we don't know what our neighbor's doing. And, you know, there's been studies that show that the happiest people in the world are these people that live on this island. And every day after they go out and do their work, they come home, they come down into town, they eat together, and they sing and they dance and they hang around the fire, and then they go home. And they're like, all of their basic needs are met. They don't have bazillions of dollars, but they're the happiest people on earth with the least amount of stress and the most amount of joy. So,
yes.
You know, what are we rat racing for? What is the point of having a to-do list? And we really have a to-outdo list. To-do list. Like, who
yes.
can we outdo? And we're always
yes.
saying, you know, it's the stress that's causing atherosclerosis. It's not your cholesterol. It's the stress of the poor diet, the stress of the having to have. And, you know, I'm working 8 hours a week, eight hours a day, or maybe 12 hours a day, so my kid can have Ugg boots and whatever that is, Prada shoes.
Yeah.
Who cares? Who cares?
Yeah. Yes.
That's what we've created, false gods, and we're idolizing gods, and things are just, you know, illicit sex, like destroying God's perfect image and thinking it's okay to butcher it? Really?
Like,
why are we focusing on that and not on stewarding the land and elevating our health and elevating our awareness and diving into the night sky to see, you know, the Maseroth and the messages from God from above? And you know, Satan has totally slandered and twisted all of the stars to be this astrological, I mean, what's my horoscope? What is it? What's in it for me? Rather than, what do I need to do for God? What is God's will for me? What is my divine purpose? How are we all intricately connected? We're a big jigsaw puzzle, all of us working together. And right now our puzzle's all torn apart and our pieces need to come together. And the only way to do that, take back our communities.
Well, Gary Null promotes and talks all the time about intentional communities, which is what he's generating himself and encouraging other people to participate in. Because, of course, you know, an intentional community is one that is duplicatable with the right consciousness and intention. Well, intentionality, so that, you know, there can be some blueprints for this kind of community-based living circumstance that is something that brings, as you've indicated, a much more satisfying way of living and being and finding, you know, and I mean, you know, there are so many homeless people that are trying to make their way. And in a weird way, you know, they are a community that are learning to survive because of the necessity. They most don't have the choice, you know, to be homeless, but there they are. And now, you know, they're basically squatting on, you know, property that isn't theirs, but there they are, you know.
They're a community.
They are a community. They are indeed.
I mean, Gary Knowles' place in Texas is amazing what he's creating there. And he does have a growing, literally a growing community of not only people, but plants and animals and the whole thing. And that, I mean, it's so easy to have some chickens to get your eggs. Like, you don't have to feed on those eggs, right? You know, I mean, we have 5 chickens and we get our eggs regularly every day. You can have more than that. You can have, I think the minimum amount that you can have is 4. And of course, you have to check with your laws in the area whether you can have chickens. It's usually chickens are okay, but not roosters, which I completely understand. But, you know, there's simple little things that we can do, or maybe one house grows the potatoes and your neighbor has the chickens and the other house grows all the beans and then you share. That's a novel idea, right?
Yeah, the bartering system that once was a dominant way for people to survive now, you know, might need to come back, you know, just out of necessity. And, you know, those of us that are informed about, you know, the possibilities of what our future might look like, I think are creating scenarios and possible blueprints of survival, you know, which, you know, the only other thing that's always a challenge for me when I'm thinking these things through is, you know, those of us that are going to be doing things to create sustenance, and those people that are not, you know, are they going to be the ones raiding our gardens? And, you know, that's what's the difficulty, is that we are, in fact, one human family, like it or not. And, you know, what are then the rules around our own boundaries that would need to be part of this very strange condition that we may be looking at, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's no different than, like, really back in biblical times, if you think about it. And if you have a community, and if there are people that aren't growing, what are their skills? How can they contribute? That's what I'm saying, like, help us steward the land. Maybe you're really good at building things and you can build us raised beds. Maybe you're really good at tractors and you can help us move things around. Or maybe you have a grappling hook that we don't have, you know? So I think that we have to take our first step. It's like that movie, Build It and They Will Come. So when you take your first step, things just begin to open up. And then you create a community. And in that community, you create some protective measures. Maybe you have some ex-cop who is like, okay, so we'll do security duty, you know?
Yeah.
But you have to start somewhere.
Yes.
And, there's always an abundance, and you don't want the food to go to waste, so you do want to share it with people who are unable to. I don't think we should step forward in fear. I think when you're doing the will of God and you step forward in trust, it works its way through, and you can never go wrong. It's when you move yourself away from God and depend on man to provide for you that you run into those scenarios. So
yes.
I think when we give glory to God for everything we do in our day, and we move forward in that, and we ask that He move us forward, and you put this on my heart to do this, show me and open the doors for us so that we can help as many people as possible. And when we move into life in that way, that is how we're meant to be. And then, you know, we always need to. I'm a full believer in daily Bible reading. Bible group, right?
I mean,
we have a women's Bible group, and I follow a pastor online because I find I'm in alignment with him, celebrating the Sabbath, honoring the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, not the first day of the week. right? Doing the things that God has asked us to do. That's in the Bible.
So, yes.
You know, and that's how we forward ourselves without fear. I think when we move into that fear of what is someone going to do, we're living, Satan's winning, right? But when we move into full trust and faith and love and joy, and we're moving in God, and you in Satan hates that, and he can't touch you because you're the light.
So true. Well, in the event that people tuned into our podcast a little late, would you please remind people about your podcast on Brighteon? Because I know that's you. Do you have an archive there as well?
Yeah, it's we're still working on it, and we're working on the technical downloads. And yeah, there's about 7 videos that we've started because we're again new in the process. We are on Brighteon.com. I think you have to subscribe. No, that's the wrong word. You have to put in your email and sign up for Brighteon. And then when you get to our channel, Health Pedal, or I think you can also find me under Ann Consorti, Health Pedal, HEALTHPETAL. You go there and you can watch our videos. We ask that you subscribe to the channel, and most importantly, that you comment and open up a dialogue and communicate with us, because we want to move you along. We want you to become part of our community, even if you're 6 states over or in another country. Because if we can get a system that works here, why not do it everywhere? And that's kind of what we want. We want to do the groundwork to say, okay, this is what's working. This is what was easy. This is what didn't work. So don't even go there. And now maybe you can duplicate it in your community. It doesn't have to, you don't have to necessarily own the land. You can use community land. So it's Health Pedal. It's a podcast on Brighteon.com, which is a free speech site that they don't censor you. And you're free to be. And so we support Brighteon. Yeah, but we'll probably also be up on Telegram and Rumble when I figure that out. I'm at that age group that's a little technically challenged, but I'm getting there. So we'll come along, and we're new, and we the more people that come along with us, we can teach you the background too. You want to do your own podcast about what you're doing? I can tell you the what doesn't work, because I know that very well so far.
That's always important.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. I think this is such a wonderful, informative segment that we're doing. And I so appreciate what kinds of very critically important tips, because the purpose of Wise Women, as far as Gary producing and creating this, you know, for me to host, was all about bringing wisdom to whoever listens to this podcast. And so I think that we certainly accomplished that today. And we so thank you for your contribution to the purpose of this show. And I do hope that people will listen to your podcast and connect with you, the privilege of working with you on a personal level. I really urge people to reach out to you at, give them the email one more time.
Sure. Inner Journey Chiropractic, P as in Peter, C as in Charlie, @gmail.com. So Inner Journey Chiropractic, PC @gmail.com.
Yes. So, I can't thank you enough for the wonderful impact that you've had on my health and my life. And I urge people to certainly be part of that wonderful group that you support for their health and well-being. You do it on a personal level, and you're doing it on a global level. And so, again, I thank you so much for being on our show, Dr. Ann Consorti, DC, and your lovely husband, Jim, who is your partner in this effort that brings so much to the world for its betterment at this very critical time in our history. So, Anne, thank you so much for being on Wise Women. And we will see you. You're so welcome. So, everybody, have a wonderful day, and I'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time. With no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born.